How big of a coup is this for the Toronto Blue Jays to get this guy into the fold going into next season?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. Not just because, like, for so many reasons that are not Ryu himself. You know, the fact that they're trying to win, which is something that they haven't done in a couple of years, where the rebuild's over and this is a step forward. The fact that they can get a premier free agent to sign here, which is something that the Blue Jays have had trouble doing. And the fact that they were willing to spend $80 million over 4 years on a guy who, honestly, is a massive injury risk. But, you know, this is the second biggest free agent contract that the Blue Jays have ever given out. It's the biggest free agent contract that Mark Shapiro has ever given out. It's all these signs are really, really, really positive. Even if, you know, you refer to him as a stopgap, I wouldn't say he's a stopgap, but I think that he's going to be, hopefully, a part of some very, very good Blue Jays teams in the coming years. But, you know, this is a guy they like that they were willing to pony up for probably a year before they really need him. But, you know, what happens if Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette and Kevin Biggio and Lourdes Gurriel all have the terrific offensive seasons that we all think they're capable of having, and Chase Anderson's your number one pitcher, right? And you know, what an opportunity lost it would be. So the fact that Ryu is like a hedge against the kids developing early, and he's also he's there in 21-2-3 when the Blue Jays are hopefully really, really good.
You know what? That's the word that I was looking for. Stopgap wasn't the right word for it, but more of a transition piece, right? And a guy that is there while the team is transitioning from the rebuild and the scorched earth into contender, which could happen much quicker than everybody thinks. And you look, whether it's Rourke or Shoemaker or Baruchy or Kay or Wagsback, you got to figure one of those guys is going to turn into a pitcher. And then how do we look when, you know, Nate Pearson and Manoa and some of these, and Kay and maybe Pardinho and Simon, you know, Simeon Woods Richardson, the guy that they really was the piece in that deal, that this team is closer than I think a lot of people think.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you know, I mentioned yesterday on Twitter about September for the Blue Jays. They played 25 games in September last year, the Blue Jays, 16 of them against teams that made the playoffs. And they were running out of rotation of, well, there were openers, but behind the openers, four rookies, Trent Thornton, Anthony Kay, Jacob Wagisback, and I always miss one, and I'm going to hate myself when I figure out who it is. But four
TJ,
rookies.
TJ, was it Zoik?
TJ Zoik, you're right. There it is, TJ Zoik. And Clay Buchholz, who was the veteran, but Clay Buchholz had an ERA of 8.5 in September. So that's your starting rotation in September. You're playing two-thirds of your games against playoff teams. And they went 12-13. And above 500 before Bo Bichette got hurt. So this is a team, you know, people say, 95 losses, 95 losses. But this is a team that once all the kids got up, they were 25-27. They were very close to a 500 team with Bichette and Biggio and Guerrero all together in the lineup, missing Gurriel for most of September. So I think they're starting from a better spot than a lot of people think. And this was with, really, five starting pitchers, likely none of whom will be in the rotation when the season starts, because they've got five other guys now who are better than all five of those if Baruchy is the fifth. So, you know, I just think, like you said, they're a lot closer than a lot of people think. And Ryu is a huge boost to that end.
Mike, if you're a Toronto Blue Jay fan and you hear what I heard, and I heard it from a reliable source, a very reliable source, someone that knows the front office, that's involved in the running of the team. And I don't know if you heard this. They offered $300 million to Gerrit Cole to become a Toronto Blue Jay. Did you hear that?
I did not hear that, but it wouldn't surprise me. When Mark Shapiro was on Tim and Sid last week, he talked about how they thought they were a long shot for Gerrit Cole, probably, you know, more because of geography and the place, you know, the where the Blue Jays' window to contend is right now. But look, this team's got a lot of money, and these guys were brought in because Rogers believed that they built a really good organization in Cleveland on a shoestring. What would they be able to do with some real cash? And they did the scorched earth. They stripped down to the bare walls. They did all that stuff. And now once they show that, hey, look, this is the direction in which we're headed, if they make their case that this is a game changer, then the purse strings will be open. I mean, we saw that in 15 and 16 when they were running $160-plus million payrolls. So I'm not surprised that they took a run at Gerrit Cole. I think that they knew that it was probably not going to happen, but you know, sometimes makes it safer to make an offer like that. But if you make an offer, the guy says, yes, you got to do it. So, you know, I remember years ago, a lot of fans thought they didn't really want Edwin Encarnacion back, but they had $80 million on the table for him. So if he'd said yes, they get him back. You can't go into this thing making offers that you hope people will reject. And going after Gerrit Cole, even if it was bound to fail because he really wanted to either be a Yankee or go on the West Coast. Again, it just shows that these guys pick their targets and go after them. And this was after the pitching market kind of got away. I think Zach Wheeler went for more than a lot of people thought, and he was bound to be close to Jersey. He turned down more money from Chicago. Why not take a shot? And then when Ryu's the last guy left, well, the word is that teams were kind of stuck around 3 years and a little over $20 million. Jays kicked in the fourth, and here he comes. So you step up for the guys you want. They did, and they got a big fish.
So Yunjin Ryu, as you discussed, has been injury prone. And this Toronto Blue Jays organization has spent a fortune on back-of-house improvements, meaning everything from ticketing to their front office, and specifically sports science. Since Atkins and Shapiro arrived here, they've spent a lot of money and they've been given the resources to spend a lot of money on making sure that everything they can control off the field is controllable and top shelf and right up there with any team in baseball. Do you think that was a factor in Ryu coming to Toronto?
I don't know. I don't think it would have put him over the top. I think that fourth year probably put him over the top more than anything else. But the Blue Jays, you know, are changing their spring training and making it this top-of-the-line facility that'll be ready next year. And all these things they can use as selling points. So, you know, we are determined to get the best out of you that we possibly can. I'm sure all teams make those pitches, and it probably isn't until you get there and you're in it that you see exactly what's going on. But it certainly can't hurt when you're making your sales pitch.
So Ryu is a guy who comes in after having pitched in the National League and gets to pitch in the American League. So he gets one go around. How much of a factor was that in the Blue Jays bringing this guy in? Was it just because he was the best available pitcher willing to sign? Or were there other factors? Look, like you said, Mike, if you can get a couple, maybe that third year out of this guy as a reliable starter and get a bunch of innings while the prospects are getting ready, whether it's, you know, Nate Pearson or as I said, Kay, Manoah, Pardeño, Richardson, there's a bunch of them there that could turn into real pitchers. Does Yunjin Ryu, does he stay on this rotation? Is he part of this rotation when this team is legitimately contending?
Yeah, because I think they're legitimately contending 2021 at the latest. So, yeah, I think he's probably their number one pitcher when they're legitimately contending in a couple of years, unless Nate Pearson has, you know, an incredible continues his meteoric rise through the minors and is it successful in the majors, and he's certainly got the talent to do it. But, you know, there's no such thing as a pitching prospect. We've seen so many of them highly touted as can be wind up getting sidetracked with either injury or ineffectiveness or whatever, but you hope for the best for Nate Pearson. But yeah, I believe that Ryu is 1 or 1A when this team is really, really good, assuming he can stay on the field. And health is a big risk for him. He's had a lot of problems. Tommy John surgery, he's had shoulder surgery a couple of years ago. I think he tore a groin that, like, the muscle tore right off the bone. He's had hip problems. He's had all kinds of things. But I don't think the Blue Jays signed Ryu to this contract thinking that they're actually going to get 120 starts out of him over 4 years. I think if they get 100, they'll be thrilled. And you're probably looking more around 80 to 100. But when he is on the mound, he is... I want to say dominant. I hesitate to use dominant because he only throws 90.
Yeah.
But he's dominant. And we saw here in 15-16, Marco Estrada and his power changeup. That's what Ryu is. He's got a power changeup at 80 miles an hour. He induces weak contact. He was like top 5% in the league at stopping hard contact. And I read an article today in The Athletic, I want to say by Molly Parker, and I really hope I didn't get her name wrong, that since 1978, so over the last 40 years, there have only been four pitchers in the major leagues to make at least 100 starts and have a career ERA under 3, and Ryu is one of them.
Yeah, I think, look, Blue Jay fans don't know this guy, right? They don't know this guy because
Molly
they haven't
Knight,
seen
by
him.
By the way.
Who is
I
it?
I screwed it up. Molly Knight is her name. Sorry, Molly.
Yeah, so his pitching, look, he's not a fastball pitcher. He throws a lot of different junk, and he mixes it up. And he's a very smart pitcher, and he's a great fielding pitcher as well. So the Blue Jays picking up this guy, as you said, Ryu is... It's a massive signing, and it cannot be understated in the least. And I have to go to the text line quickly here, Mike, at 590-590 before we let you go. Jordan in Burlington asked this question. Is Matt Shoemaker a key starter in this rotation that no one's talking about? He says he was the best pitcher in the Jays rotation last year but was unfortunately injured. Speak to that.
Well, he was the best pitcher in the Blue Jays rotation last year, but he only made 5 starts. So, you know, he had a great April is what I'll say about Matt Shoemaker. And who knows what the rest of his season might have looked like. He could have gone back to his career averages. He could have, had a horrible month that evened things out, and then he would have just been okay. But you got to remember about Matt Shoemaker, as great as it was 5 starts. And they're all key pitchers, I think. Anderson, Roark, Shoemaker, and Ryu. But I just don't, I mean, I don't know what you're going to get out of Shoemaker. The great thing, the silver lining in his year was that his arm was fine, that he had had a history of arm problems. He had a nerve thing that required a few surgeries before they finally figured out what it was and how to fix it. And, you know, the hope going into last season was, okay, he's beyond that now. His arm is all right. Let's see what he can actually do. And what he actually did over those 5 starts was phenomenal. So you hope that he picks up right where he left off. But I've learned, especially over recent seasons, with Aaron Sanchez specifically and a couple of other people, when a guy misses a whole year, to expect them to pick up right where they left off is you're just setting yourself up for disappointment. So I hope Matt Shoemaker will be okay. I expect that if he's healthy, we'll see some very good and we'll see some not so good, and hopefully it evens out that, you know, he hits his stride late in the season or by mid-season and gets back comfortable. But you got to remember that the guy missed 5 months last year, and that's really, really difficult to come back from in stride.
Before we let you go, Mike, real quick, out of these pitchers, which one, if any, are in the starting rotation next year? Nate Pearson, Alek Manoah, Anthony Kay, Eric Pardino, Simeon Woods Richardson.
At any point next year?
No. Out of spring training?
None of them.
Okay. At any point next year?
At any point next year, Pearson, thinking May, late May. Kay will be in the rotation at some point next year. Simeon Woods Richardson just finished A ball in Dunedin, so yeah, he's a couple of years away. Alek Manoah just drafted, and even though he's drafted out of college, you know, it's even on the fast track, he's a couple of years away. And Eric Pardino, I think, is 19 and missed a lot of time last year, so I'm not expecting him for a while. But I would think that, you know, depending on how the new collective bargaining agreement works and if they change things with service time and super twos and starting the clock and all that stuff, I think the earliest we see Manoah and Woods Richardson are as September call-ups in 2021.
All right, Mike, thanks for doing this. I hope you have a great Christmas and all the best in 2020, my friend.
Same to you, Joe. Thank you.